Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Healing Class, House on the Rock Church, Ypsilanti, Michigan. This is the place to be on a Sunday morning, hearing from the Word of God. So let's open with prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I know you're excited, Holy Spirit, to share with us. I know you're ready just to open up the Word to us. And I know that as we hear your word, our hearts are going to be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus that said, wow, did our hearts not burn as he opened up the scriptures to us? And that's what we're expecting this morning, Lord. Lord, as you share the word with us, Lord, as you show the word to us, as you open up the word to us, that our hearts are going to burn and we're going to receive what you have for us. And so that it will be clear. And it will make a difference and a change in our lives and in our bodies. And we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, welcome. Now, what we're going to do this week, I'm going to build on some of the teaching and the series that Pastor Schoen had just finished. And he was talking about, he had a Living by Conviction series. And in there, he was really talking about some really foundational truths and to help us understand the reality of the finished work. That it's not, that healing isn't something out there to be in the future, but it's already been accomplished. And so he went through so that will help us to understand our position, that we are in a position of the healed because of what Jesus did. And so that whole understanding, that whole being able to know that it is done, that is not something to be gotten, but it's something that has already been provided for us. So we're going to be going along that same line. And we're going to be touching on some of the same areas, but it's going to be looking at it like from a different, slightly different view or a slightly different aspect. It's like looking at a diamond, and you look at it from a different angle, you get a different view. It's still the same diamond. It's still the same, but you're seeing a different facet. You're seeing a different hues on it. So we're going to be doing it from a different area, different direction, but it's still going to be the same truth. And so the title of this morning's message or this morning's lesson is called Law and Order. Now, when I say law and order, what does that bring to mind?
Police
shows? Anything else?
Legalism.
Cowboys.
Legals, that's cowboys? Yeah, the old Wild West. That's the first thing I think, like, we need somebody to bring in some law and order. Here comes the lawman, you know, we're going to have some order in this town, and, you know, and he comes in and does it. Because otherwise, there's chaos. Yeah, the opposite of the law and order. So when we speak of laws, give me an example. What's like a law?
Speed limit.
Speed limit. Everybody had to do something today. And so that was the speed limit. So you came on probably one of the expressways. Yes?
Law of gravity.
So there's another example of a law. Now, those are a little bit different kind of laws, aren't they? The law of the speed limit. So you guys all drove here today, I imagine. And you probably, some of you came on I-94, one of the expressways. And there's a sign there that says the speed limit. And so that was instituted by people. And that says how fast you can go. And so that means nobody ever goes more than that. People are chuckling. But it's a law, so therefore no one can go more than that, right?
That's why we need policemen.
So that's a law. And that definition, when we look at law that way, the definition actually of a law, if we call it like a man-made law, that definition is a system of rules which a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members and which it may enforce by the imposition of penalties. So that's one aspect of law. So in that situation, in that connotation of law, what's the purpose?
Protection.
Protection. Yeah, so people aren't driving all over the place. How about order? So the purpose of the law is either to establish or maintain order in that situation. If it's a man-made law, I mean, sometimes there's laws that seem for different purposes, but I mean, the concept of we're making laws as a community in order to maintain order. Now, we also talked about laws that are not man-made, all right? In that case, we'd call them natural laws or physical laws or scientific laws. And that those type of laws are like the law of gravity. Now, that's we can't petition Congress to say, I'm having trouble with this law of gravity. Would you please repeal it or modify it or do something like that? See, that's an absolute. There's an absolute law when we talk about that. And then in what's the purpose of natural laws? What's the purpose of scientific laws?
They glorify God.
They glorify God.
Keep the world in order.
Yeah. Order. To keep the universe running in order. There's laws of planetary motion that were discovered like 400 years ago. And we can use those laws because there's such order that was established by God in the universe that we can predict when eclipses are. Or I don't know if anybody saw any of the Christmas star they talked about where the alignment of Saturn and Jupiter were made a brighter thing in the sky. They could tell, you know, when the last one is, they could figure it out. They can figure out where the next one is because there's an order in the universe. So when God created laws for the universe, the purpose is for order. All right, so it's the same. We have a similar thing. We have laws and we have order. Now, we can also have an area where there's spiritual laws. Now, Pastor Schoen covered some of these in his series that he was talking about, Living by Conviction. Can anybody that was here, do you know of any of those laws that he said? Want a hint?
Would they be commandments?
Well, not necessarily, not from that standpoint, but let's say Mark 11, 23, 24. What is the gist of that you would say there is a spiritual law? Gail?
When you speak, things happen.
When you speak
God's word, it's truth. Well, when you speak negative things, they can happen too.
So yeah.
Your words have power.
Right. You can have what you say. Yeah, you can have what you say. That is a spiritual law. All right, that's a spiritual law. And when Jesus spoke, things happened. Now, in that situation in Mark chapter 11, and Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree. All right, so what was the purpose of him cursing the fig tree? What do you think? Was the fig tree operating in order?
No.
Wasn't it? Why?
Because it didn't have right figs.
Didn't have figs.
But it wasn't the season.
Wasn't seasoned for figs. What did it have?
Leaves.
Leaves.
I heard it had knobs.
Yeah. But basically, it was saying, I've got fruit.
Right. Well, there you go.
Because that was the... It said, he saw the leaves, it said, okay, I got fruit. He went over there, didn't have fruit. It was out of order. And so he, as the creator, because all things are made through him, by him, said, no man eat from fruit from you again. Ever again. So he used a spiritual law to execute, he speak a curse on that fig tree. There was an order that needed to be maintained in order to be put in place there. And the fig tree was out of order. Now, there's other spiritual laws that come into play also. And I'm gonna get into those because there's some real powerful one that really aid us in the area of healing. But before I do that, I wanna do a little illustration to help us understand. And here, I have ping pong balls. Okay, everybody's wondering what would you do with a ping pong ball? And ping pong balls, you know, if I if, Okay, that just demonstrated something, a law.
Gravity.
Gravity. That demonstrated the law of gravity. Basically, you have, if I let go of this, it's going to drop. That's your expectation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's going to drop. What's your expectation based on?
Experience. Natural law.
Yeah, your understanding of the law. If I threw this up in the air, what's my expectation? It's going to come down because it's your understanding of the law. If I throw my keys up in this air, in the airs, they're going to come down. Are they going to come down because I want them to come down? Are they going to come down because I need them to come down? No, they're going to come down because the law says they're going to come down. Now, if I hold this up and I let go, what's your expectation of this ball? So your expectation is this is going to fall, go down, and probably bounce because there's another law in effect when it hits the ground.
That's not the same one you
had. It's not. No, I had three of them in there. So this is the one that I had here for this, but I got three of them in there. So if I were to say, now what would happen if I let go of this ball and it didn't fall? Now, what would happen? Wait a minute.
I would think I would miss church and I'm still dreaming.
Yeah. All right, so now you're faced with a conflict. You have a conflict of your senses telling you something that's contrary to the understanding of the law that you're standing on, right? Mm-hmm. You have an expectation that, according to the law, this ping pong ball should have dropped and hit the ground. So why didn't it? You've got a conflict now going on. Why didn't it drop? Why didn't it drop?
It's too sticky, but it will.
Well, you don't know. Do you know why it dropped? You don't know why it dropped. Okay, but maybe it's because gravity at 9:45 at House on the Rock Church in the overflow room at the front, gravity doesn't work. Gravity is different. Maybe it's something with the law of gravity that we don't understand, and maybe that's why they build airplanes, airports in certain places because the gravity is less, and the airplanes can take off that easier and land easier. Maybe that's why it is. Do you suppose that could be it? No. So all these things, you're looking at something that contradicts your understanding of the law, but is it challenging your belief on the law? Why?
Because it's immutable.
Because the law, as your understanding of gravity, is immutable. So how do you reconcile it? This.
We have to figure out what you're doing up
there.
But it's not. So it didn't shake anybody's confidence in the law of gravity. No one got their faith shaken. No one got their faith shaken in the law of gravity. The law of gravity, there's something that it doesn't do.
No,
see, because you said you don't know why it didn't fall.
Because it's a sticky ball. That's why I said that.
Yeah, but you still have not changed the law. You say there is some reason that I don't know. Why? There is some reason that this thing is that did not fall, but it's not because the law of gravity is not in effect. Is everybody in agreement on that? It is not because the law of gravity is not in effect. Now, we may be able to, if I'm kind-hearted, tell you why it didn't fall, and you may have, and that may say, now I understand, but it doesn't shake your confidence in the law of gravity. Is that correct? If it did shake your confidence in the law of gravity, you'd probably think, maybe you weren't taught the law of gravity very well. But this one happens to be Velcro.
Ah.
And there is sticky on both sides, and Velcro holds it onto my hand. So now there's an understanding of why it didn't fall, but even then it didn't say, oh, okay, now I believe in the law of gravity again because there's an explanation. So, now, what's the application of that? Our next law is going to be turned to Romans 8, chapter 2. Because I wanted to get that in place first, because I wanted that pictorial. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Notice there's two times that we're talking about laws in that verse. So we have two defined laws here in this verse. And in between those two, there's, it talks about the law of the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life. And in there, in between those, he says, "has made me free." Now, there's different versions. I don't know what version you're reading. Does anybody's version say, "will make me free"? No? Does anybody say, "is making me free"? Do all of them say past tense? "Has made me free"? So, all of them say that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. All right? It has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, this is such a powerful verse. It's a powerful verse in the area of healing. It's a powerful verse that really summarizes the whole redemption plan. The whole, what Jesus did for us when he died, what he provided for us. But a lot of times we can just look at this very Christian easies and just kind of right through it. Law, Spirit, life, Christ Jesus, paid me from law, sin, and death. Let's go on. But what does it say? We're talking about laws. We're talking about laws that maintain order. We're talking about absolute laws, unchanging. These are absolute. No matter what a man says, he can't contradict it. He can't override it. He can't repeal it. This is a law. This is a spiritual law. So when we look at that, we have to know two things. What's the law of the Spirit of life? What's the law of sin and death? To have an understanding, what is this? What are we free from? We've been set free from the law of sin and death. Okay, what's that mean? If we don't know, then we're not going to be able to know what we're free from. So what is the law of sin and death? Any guesses? Any thoughts? Any ideas?
Sickness and disease.
How do you know?
Because it's death.
Mm-hmm. Where did it start?
After the fall.
After the fall. In Genesis chapter 2, God told Adam, "You can eat from all the trees in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, because in that day that you eat it,
you'll die.
You shall surely die. You shall surely die." And actually, the Hebrew there, it says in the day you eat it, you shall, it's muth muth. It's like the word for death is repeated twice. You shall die die. You shall die die. And the Young's literal translation puts that one as dying, thou dost die. In other words, dying, you're going to die. So death was released at that point. And death was a process that went through. But it was initiated at the point of that fall. And that released the law of sin and death. And that's where sin and death began. And that everything that went with death, when did they die when they ate the fruit? Did they die?
Not right away.
But he said, in the day you eat it, you should surely die.
Spiritually, they died.
They died. They died. That started death. That brought death in. They died. They were separated. And then that released all the other physical things. When did sickness start? At the fall. When did death start? At the fall.
Amen.
When did disorder come? At the fall. You notice when God made and created the universe each day, at the end of that day, he said, and God saw it. And what did he say?
It's good.
It's good. It's in order. It's the way it should be. And then death came. And that brought in chaos and destruction. At that point in time, God told Adam, that he'd be toil. He'd be working for the sweat. There'd be briars. There'd be thorns. There'd all be other this stuff. This confusion got in. This other stuff. Everything that we would identify as the curse, it's identified with death. So that's all bundled in there. So that all became part of that. Now, what we see in here is, notice that it says the law of sin and death. It doesn't say the laws of sin and death, and it doesn't say the law of sin and the law of death. It says the law of sin and death. All right, now that's important because those are combined. Those are tied together. And the importance of that is what? What one is the root and which one is the fruit? We have sin and we have death. Which one is which? We have a root and we have a fruit.
If you die to the flesh, that would be living in the spirit of fruit.
So let's say, what caused death?
Sin
caused death. Sin is the root. All the other stuff that came out, the curse, the death, the sickness, all those other things are the fruit of that underlying cause, that root of sin. And it says the law of sin and death, those two go together, which means if you get the root, what happens to the fruit? It dies. If you get the root, if you deal with the root, you deal with the fruit. If you say, like even Jesus, if we take the example, go back to Mark 11, 23 and 24, when he spoke to the fig tree, it said it withered up from the root. You take care of the root, the fruit's going to change. The fruit's going to go if you deal with from the root. So,
amen.
What did Jesus do? What did he do?
He dealt with the root.
He dealt with sin.
Hallelujah.
Right? It wasn't like he had to deal with. We get into these ideas somehow through either our teaching or whatever, that somehow we separate things. But what does the word say? We go back to what does the word say? When he said sin and death, they were combined. So if he deals with sin, he deals with death. Doesn't say, okay, he by his stripes, was that for our healing or was that for our salvation? Well, he's dealing with our sins or is he dealing with our sickness? He's dealing with the root. It takes care of the whole plant. So he deals with you're dealing with the whole thing when you deal with the root. So that means all sickness, every sickness came as a result of sin. Everything sprung out of that. All curse, everything came out of that. And now here comes the question, why did the little illustration? What if you don't see it? What if you don't see it? Just like you didn't see the ball dropped when I let it go. You didn't see it. But nobody in here questioned gravity. I ask, did it shake your confidence in the law of gravity? No, because you had an understanding of the law. And you said, there must be some other reason that ball didn't drop, because I know that gravity is in effect. Now, if we look at this law we described here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And we understand that what is sin and death? Sin and death is basically sin and everything that was the fruit of sin. Sickness, disease, confusion, disorder. All that was a fruit. And it says we have been. That was what I was saying. Is it something that's going to be? Is it a future thing? No. It says who has made you. You have been made free. In the just a couple other words on that, also in Romans For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we can call about the wages of sin is death. We can talk about it being the fruit of sin is death. So sickness, disorder, death, all the fruit, but sin is the root. Now, if we look at what's the spirit of life? What would you say is the spirit of life?
Getting saved.
Getting saved. We could say it that way.
Health and wellness.
Health and wellness, part of what God he provided. What did Jesus provide? Anybody can say 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if you be in Christ.
New creation.
You are a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed away. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What he provided for you on his death was a new creation. You're stepping into a new creation. You're stepping into the fullness of what he had provided. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. Another way Paul describes it over in Colossians, in chapter 1, I think it's verse 13, he talks about being delivered from the dominion of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Again, it's a past tense sense. You have been delivered from the dominion of darkness. It's already completed. It's already done. Now, what's the purpose of the law? What did we establish was the purpose of the law?
You got to the root of the problem.
When we were talking about the other laws, the man-made laws?
To provide order.
Provide order. Natural laws? Provide order. Spiritual laws? Provide order. When Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil,
he was ordering things.
He was putting things in order. Is sickness in order? No, sickness is a ravaging on the body. Sickness is a breakdown of what God has provided. There was no sickness. There was no death prior to that fall, that sin. Jesus was putting things in order. Did Jesus ever make anybody sick?
No.
No. Did he ever refuse to heal anyone? No, never. You can't find an example where he refused to heal. It says in John, or letter to John, this 1 John 3, chapter 8, verse 3, 8, I think. Chapter 3, verse 8. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy. His goal, he had like a seek and destroy mission where he was like seek and save that which was lost and destroy the works of the devil. So that was because the devil, his works were disorderly. It was disorderly. And his work was every time he went out and healed, put that body back in order. Right? He put that body back in order. And that's the position that we have. And we can do that by executing those laws, by having understanding of that law. And that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from that other law. So you can have, let's talk about application. The application then, when you see something, sickness in your body, that's something that's out of order. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Let's put it that way. Or you've been given the authority, as Pastor Shona talked about the power of your words. He was talking about that. You have the words. You've been given that power now to order, to command that body to get in order, to walk free from the law of sin and death and walk in the fullness of the law of the spirit of life. I want to go on to... We talk about the purpose to establish order because in 1 Corinthians 14, the scripture says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion. Now, that word that was translated confusion, that Greek word, it's a long Greek word, and I'm not going to pronounce it, but it's a word that also has other meanings in the Strong's. One of them is disorder. God is not the author of disorder, but of peace. Now that peace is really a powerful word. Eirene is the Greek. And what's interesting about that word, it's translated peace. It has a corresponding word in the Old Testament, peace. And about 250 years before Jesus was born, there's about 70 Jewish scholars that translated the Hebrew scriptures into Greek. And that's called the Septuagint. And so it was used through Jesus' time and on up. So in that translation, there's a word in the Old Testament for peace. You know what it is?
Shalom.
Shalom. In that word, when they translate it into Greek, they use this word, Eirene. And so it carries that same connotation. God's not the author of confusion, disorder, but of peace. In that shalom word is completeness, wholeness, peace, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, fullness, rest, harmony, absence of agitation and discord, a state of calm without anxiety or stress. That's all encompassed in that peace. So God's not the author of confusion, of disorder, but he's the author, but of peace, but of wholeness. Okay, so how do you apply that? What's that mean? Kale, how are you going to use that? How are you going to use that? How are you going to take that law? What are you going to do with that?
I'm going to tell my body to get in order. It has to be in order according to the law of the Spirit of life, which is in me, because Christ Jesus is in me.
Is in you.
So that order can come out from within.
Order that comes out from within. Yeah. See, it's great. It's one thing just to hear it, but say, okay, how do I apply this now? What do I do with this? How does this change my life? How does it change my view? And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have this visual or that illustration, is because every one of us, when we're talking about speaking to our bodies or talking about healing, or every one of us gets attacked with symptoms. Every one of us do. And every one of us have the thoughts come to us that say, yeah, but my body says this. I know what the word says, but my body feels pain. And so what do we do with that? So maybe it's not the law. So that's where the foundation has to be laid, the understanding of that law. And how do you get the understanding? How do you get that?
Keep your butt out of it.
Get the butt out of it. the butt, yeah, that. But what else would help you get that understanding? How did you get the understanding of the law of gravity?
You were taught.
You were taught. You were open to instruction. What if somebody would have told you and taught you that it's variable and they gave you all these things? You'd have to do some relearning, right? You'd have to go some relearning, kind of like you'd have to renew your mind to what the actual truth was, right? You have to renew your mind to the truth of God's word. So if you're seeing some things in here that says, wow, there's the law. One of the things I want to really hammer home is law. Law and order is, that's a law. When you read Romans 8:2, it says the law and the law. There is a law of spirit of life. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah, that's what he comes. None of those sound like order. That all sounds like disorder. It all sounds like death, destruction. Every sickness, what's the ultimate goal of every sickness?
Death.
That's the ultimate goal of every sickness. It wants to carry to death. Every one of those, it said, but Jesus said, now this is a good use of but, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. And have life more abundantly, the law of the spirit of life. He came that you might have eternal life. And Peter talks about it. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
So we need to know Jesus. That's how we reboot.
We reboot. We need to know what he has provided, but even more knowing than just intellectually academic. I read it, I understand it, or I accept it because it says it. We have to know it, that when you see something contrary, you can still say, no, I know it's true. There's something else that I'm not seeing here, but the truth of the word is still the truth of the word. I am healed. You say, I am healed because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So I am healed. So pain can't stay.
Amen.
So you can walk from position of authority. Leah.
I had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal life and healing are part of salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the realm of the timeless, eternal, which in our time would be, it's in front of you, behind you, and happening right now. And if eternal life and healing are part of salvation, that means healing is in front of you, behind you, and happening right now.
Mm.
Right?
Healing is basically completed.
And knowing that, it leads to conviction. So it's all tied in.
Yeah. So it's, and also, I think from there, also it's not a future thing that I have to strive for. It's not a future thing. Okay, it's not a I will get someday. It's like, no, it's by now. That's also, it's just having that understanding of that, grasping that foundation of it is mine now. It is mine now. Ken.
The problem I have, when you go to a doctor or something, you're feeling some of those feelings.
Yeah.
And they want to tell you, we got this, you got that, you got this.
Yep.
Which one do we believe? See, we got to believe what the word says, not what the doctor says.
Yeah. And when you go to a doctor, that's where everything you do led by God. Everything you do by faith. Everything you do from a position of your authority. So you may go to the doctor and be led to go to the doctor, but you're going to the doctor. Remember, he's practicing.
Practicing, yeah.
He's practicing medicine. And
always practicing.
Are you going to him as he is your servant or you're his servant?
Right.
Okay. Are you going to him to submit to his thing, or are you going to get the information and God may tell you, okay, go there because it's going to give you some information on this path. But are you going in there in a submissive attitude to whatever he says I'm going to submit to? Or are you going in his attitude, okay, I'm getting information and that will submit to what I believe? Or what my confession is?
What you got to know what to pray.
So there may be something where you do. And it may be something that, hey, where you are, that may be something that's the path that you need to go for where you are. The great thing about God... Well, there's a lot of great things about God. You know what? It can't be the great thing about God. It's like, one of the great things about God is he meets you where you are. He is so loving. You look about the people that came to him. He said, some of them, they said, hey, come. And my daughter just died. Come and lay your hands on her, she'll be whole. She said, okay, I'll come. The other one said, just speak the word. Okay, I'll just speak the word. He didn't say, no. Why don't you, what's wrong with you? Didn't you see over here? I could just speak the word. Why do I have to go with you? He met them where they were. So it's like, God is so gracious, he'll meet you where you are. He doesn't condemn me where you are. He says, here, yeah. What do you want me to do for you? When they came to him, he said, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, blind guy is coming up to him, what do you want me to do for you? Well, can't you see? Can't you tell? He said, what do you want me to do for you? He met them where they are. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Receive your sight. Said, and he talked to other ones. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Yep. There it is. So he meets you where you are. So just stay in tune to where you are. So God said, Lord, where am I at? I'll ask him that. Like, Lord, where am I at on this? You know where I'm at. So where am I at? And then now direct me where I need to be. Direct me where I need to go on this. Be where I'm at. Gail.
And remember, there is no condemnation.
Exactly.
Those are in Christ.
Yep, and that's the verse right before the one, one we're talking about. 8:1, no condemnation. And that's kind of cool, the way they come after one another, because there's no condemnation. And it said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free. And get the revelation of that, and get the understanding of that, and then walk in the fullness of that. All right. Did that help?
Yeah.
Yep. So she's who yeah. So it's basically.
It's if you go, not wrong to go to the doctor.
No.
No. They're in the business of healing as well.
Yeah. But go to the doctor in faith. You can go to the doctor in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go to the doctor in faith for and then. You know, go to the doctor, believing, okay, Lord, I'm going to get some direction here on this. See, find out, you want me to go to the doctor, Lord? Well, then you're going in faith. If he says, yeah, go to the doctor. Okay, I'm going to go in faith. Then I'm going to get that information, and then I'm going to find out what to do with that. Okay? But you don't go in fear.
Yeah, I like to, like, when they're like, do you have this? I'm like, no, I don't. No, I kind of say no in my head all the time. No?
Yeah,
no,
same.
No.
Well, there's a lot of things they can easily take care of, too. They can move on and go on with your... Just keep going, heal it, and be done.
Yeah, there's some things.
It's part of helping do it. Right?
Yeah, but I would say one of the things that you can do, like we kid that doctors are practicing medicine, but we should also practice walking on the word. You know, if there's a symptom comes, start talking to it. Get into the habit of it. There was one time years ago, I was a guy I worked with, and he had actually witnessed me. I mean, he witnessed, I was praying for my boss, and my boss had some back pains, and so I said, hey, Jesus, heal that, you know, just sit down, it's probably just, you know, your legs, and so I just, he sat down on a chair, and I commanded his legs, and they grew out, and I thought I was going to do this just in private, but this other guy, Tom, came in, and he watched the whole thing, and I know it made a presses on him, because he was talking to another, I overheard him talking to another employee, and talking about, he come up, he's feeling better. And so I knew it made an impression on him. So one day, Tom was having some, you know, sinuses, some headaches and that. And so I said, let me pray for you. Now, he had witnessed me praying for my boss and his back being healed and all getting healed. I said, let me pray for you. No, that's okay. If something big comes along, but that's okay. I can do that. So I was like, why live with it? You know, why just, oh, it's just a headache. I can just get by. It's just, why not? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. Why don't you walk in the freedom that He's been giving you? Walk in the freedom. Take every opportunity to walk in the fullness and the freedom that He has provided. It blesses them. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I hope that this was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me preparing it. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for the word that you opened up to us. Help that we can use it practically now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to stay around. If you have a prayer need, if you saw something here that you said, wow, I got an understanding on that and I want agreement on XYZ, then come on up and let's get X, Y, and Z done. Amen. Or if you have a question, I'm here. You are dismissed.